Father, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love, and you truly are a good, good Father. We thank you for that. And Lord, we just lift up our prayers and praise to you, and thank you that you care for us more than we could ever imagine. And so, Lord, I pray you just speak to us this morning and just touch our hearts, Lord, that we have just a good sense of who you are, and that you would give us wisdom, how to be strengthened by you, and how to have a comfort through you. So we just thank you in advance. So, Lord, just anoint me, and I just speak words of the Spirit, and I pray you open each heart to receive from the Spirit a word of encouragement. So, Lord, I just thank you. I give all thanks to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Good to see you all here this morning. We're going to turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. So we're going to spend most of our time in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, and those around it. So look at those Isaiah. It says this: those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And this verse is a verse of tremendous encouragement, just tremendous. And, you know, a lot of people that maybe not know about a lot about the Old Testament, they know this verse. You know, a lot of things, if you know anything about that, you know, they'll go back to this verse because it's just so big, applicable, you know, so encouraging, and just gives you a great picture like the one we have, you know, on the overhead. You know, you just, you know, that's the picture. And the Lord, especially in the Old Testament, gives us pictures so we can grasp him and what he's doing. And on the back wall, you'll see that same picture. And so that's mine, and it's quite old. And just a little story behind it. When I worked for the government for years, the Central Intelligence Agency, and when I left, they gave me that picture. So I thought, and wasn't that interesting? But so that's a, if you want, that's a gift from the CIA. But so it's a great verse, and it's one that we can look at and just, you know, try to get our arms around it. And as we look at this verse, if we think about the messages of the past 2 weeks, it's very similar to this verse, very similar message to this verse. Last week, we looked at Isaiah 26:3, and it says this: you will keep in perfect peace those whose mind are steadfast because they trust in you. So again, you'll keep them in perfect peace because their minds are steadfast on you because we trust in you. So very similar to this verse, you know, just presented in a different way, and we talked about that. And then the week before that, we looked at Isaiah 30:15, and that verse went something like this: in turning and rest, you are rescued. In quietness and trust is your strength. So same type, you know, I mean, the three, I was doing a series and didn't even know it, okay? So it's just the things that unfolded. So it's very similar. The verses are very similar. We are similar, and we need to think about of what the Lord's trying to tell us. He's trying to tell us something about himself, about us, and in our trust in him, and that he is working through us. And so you see this, you know, perfect peace comes. You know, he moves, he gives us perfect peace. And then he gives us that because we trust him. And then the idea that we have a quietness and rest because we trust, and that's our strength. So when you put all these things together, it's, my goodness, you hope in the Lord and we renew our strength. So it's totally consistent there, the flow. And so, you know, that's kind of the summary of everything. Is just like you hope in the Lord with rest and quietness and trust, and that's our strength. Now, having said that, okay, that sounds good. I mean, that's just kind of like, that sounds good because that's what the Word says. Now, when I look at this, I'm going to be very honest with you, okay? And I'm thinking, how can this possibly work? I mean, how in the world can this possibly work? And I know it works. And the reason I know it works, because I am fully convinced, without a shadow of a doubt, that the Bible is the inspired word of God. I just, you know, I think I would die for that. I believe it's the inspired word of God. And that's what it says, okay? So I don't see how it works. So the issue's with me, you know. It's not with the Bible. It's not with God. And so I think, my gosh. And I have to be honest, you know, I don't really see this consistent with the way I live. And I don't see it consistent with the world and a lot of the way the other people live. And I think, you know, nice preaching verses, nice feel-good verses, but that's not what the Bible is. God is telling us truth about how he works and how we're supposed to walk with him. So maybe some of y'all struggle with that same thought, same issue. Maybe you don't, but maybe you do. It's like, okay, God, sounds good, you know, sounds good. And I wish it was true in me, and I wish it was true in everybody else, but I'm having a little issue of seeing this come through in reality. So what we're going to do this morning, and we're going to do, you know, I could imagine somebody saying, now this is what we're going to do. I'm going to tell you how to do this. Well, no, I just told you I don't know how to do it, okay? So I can't tell you how to do it. So what I want to do is look at these scriptures, particularly here in Isaiah 40, the last part of Isaiah 40, and read through it. Because what happens there is God actually tells us how to do it. He really does. He tells us. He says, this is what it is, and I'm going to tell you how to do this. And so we're going to solve this dilemma by looking at this whole series, last 3 weeks, from God's point of view, And so that's what we want to pay attention to. This is what God's saying from his point of view. And what's so good about the Bible is the Bible gives us his point of view. All right, he's not, you know, it's like a psychology course, okay? Here's how these things work, and this is how we figured it out. God says, no, this is how it works, okay? I got the final say in this. So he's telling you how it's worked from a spiritual level. So only people within the church, only those people who have trusted Christ can even have a hope of stepping into this and understanding it. And if you don't have Christ, this is totally hopeless, and it's a total fantasy. But with Christ, it's not. But the thing of it, it's with Christ, okay? Not like, I think Christ is a good idea, now I'm just going to, you know, plow through. No, it's with Christ, and through Christ, we're able to live this out. Now, first of all, and we just have to hit this, first of all, as we go through it, is that we cannot get around the fact that God requires us to trust in him. We can't look at the scriptures and go in anything without understanding. He said, I want you to trust in me. Now, if that's true, that means we have to have an idea of who he is, and then we have to step out on what he says for one reason. We trust in him. Now, if we don't trust in him, okay, now I'm talking to believers here and now. If we don't trust in him, now we got, you know, like Christian platitudes. You know, I know, like, you know, sometimes Linda and I talk, we'll go someplace, well, there's a lot of Christianese there, you know. Now, we wouldn't say that to anybody else, and we probably shouldn't say it to each other, but we know what we're talking about, you know. You got, you know, a lot of the words, but not seeing a lot of the reality. Now, so it comes down to wherever we are, we have to trust him. We have to believe he's real, and we have to trust, and we move out in what he says. So the key here is, what is he saying? What is he saying, and how can we trust in him? And by the way, there's no lesson on trusting him. It's a heart issue, and it's a commitment to step out. Okay, I'm standing with the Lord and the Lord alone. You know, and sometimes when you say, I'm standing with the Lord and Lord alone, he actually means alone. That means like everybody else around you disagrees. So you're alone. Now, if anything in the world which challenges your trust is that, like you're alone. So
So we go through those types of things. Well, how can we, how can we move forward? Well, you have to understand what God says, and that comes through the Scriptures. That comes through the Scriptures. We believe what it says. So we're going to look at this, knowing the foundation is what? Trust. I mean, say anything you want to if you don't believe it. I believe the Redskins are going to win the Super Bowl next year. I believe it. How much money are you going to put on that? Nothing. Nothing. Well, because I don't believe it, I don't trust it. It's just good words at the time. It's like, so God's going to say, okay, you say you trust me, put your money there. Put your commitment there, because that's going to be evidence of the actual trust. Okay, so what God does, and God is so gracious to us because he continually gives us difficult circumstances so we can trust him in it. Because he said, oh, you trust in me, you put your money on it. Okay, we'll see how you do here. Some people say, well, he doesn't do that. Yes, he does. Yet, in fact, Scripture will tell you. He says, now that you proved you believe me. He did it to Abraham. See, this is something we don't want to do, God would not require this of us, but he did require it of Abraham. He said, Abraham, I want you to, and this is a one-time deal, and it's a precursor to Christ, and it's not to be repeated ever. Just make that. But he told Abraham, he said, Abraham, you've waited for, you're 100 years old, you finally got your son. I mean, there's an amount of trust right there. I think Abraham, I think he should get a blue ribbon for that one. I mean, that's pretty good. I think Sarah should get 2 blue ribbons for that one, And they got their son. So he's about 16. And God says, now I want you to sacrifice him to me. And it's like, whoa, God, that's inconsistent. I didn't sign up for this. He says, no, this is why I want you to sacrifice him to me. And that's basically what he says. So Abraham takes him up. And there's a whole all sorts of typology of Christ in this and the cross and everything. We're not going to get in that this morning. But he took his son up. He said, all right, I'm going to sacrifice him like that. And why? Because that's what God said, and he had to trust, and he moved to do that. It never did say what Sarah said in that. Interesting, but God didn't say anything to Sarah, but he said something to Abraham. So he takes him up. He's going to sacrifice Isaac. And the picture is, it says he raises his knife up. And the angel says, stop. Now I know you trust me. That's what he said. My thought is like, God, I think you kind of knew that beforehand. I mean, I don't know why you needed all that, because didn't you kind of have some foreknowledge on this, that Abraham trusted you all this way? But what he said, now I know that you trust me. But you know what came out of that too, as I meditate. Now, Abraham knew for a fact he trusted him. It had more to do with Abraham's heart than it did God. Because Abraham, now I did that, and it proved Abraham's faith to himself. To himself. Now, again, that is a one-time deal, and is precursor to the picture of Christ. And again, we've talked about it, and we may talk about that in the future. And so I don't want anybody the thinking that that's something that's going to be asked of you today. But the point of it is, it says our faith is based on Abraham. In fact, when the New Testament talks about faith, it goes back to Abraham. Abraham was the man of faith. So if we were to look at faith, we're to look at Abraham. So that means we do what he says. We trust. All right? So God is what teaching us to trust. And there's a point when he goes, Wallace, now I know you trust me. Or put any of your names in it. Now I know you trust me. Because that sinner, for now and all eternity, we trust him. Now, if we trust him, what does that mean? We're going to do what he says. So then all of a sudden, what is that? That is the church. The church is doing what he says. And the world says the church is nuts. Is that fine? But we're doing what he says, and we know God is going to work this whole thing out. Amen? So this is where this is coming from. This is a great verse. verse 31, oh, he's up on eagle's wings. But it's like, you better kind of understand the fine print on this thing, you know, because you're going to be asked to trust God and what God says. Now, so God's going to help us out here. We know we're going to have difficult situations. And so when these difficult situations, it's always because God is challenging us in every situation that comes up. God is challenging us to come to grips with who He is. Not coming to grips with the situation. Sometimes we're coming to grips with the situation. No, there are too many situations to come to grips with. We're coming to grips with the situation that we trust God. Everything, we trust God. It really gets simple. We trust God. And so He's teaching us to trust Him. And He goes, as we go through this, now I know you trust me. But I think He's kind of saying, now you know you really trust me. You really trust me. Now, so here we are. We'll go back to Isaiah 40. God's and going through to this thing, we'll soar on eagle's wings here. But building up to that, God starts off with a question that kind of points out the real issue to get to the eagle's wings. Now, He's pointing out a real question, and He's telling us something. And Isaiah, I have an overhead here for this, and you can look at it. Isaiah 40. Okay, that's where Isaiah 40, and He speaks out. And He's coming down to this point, and we're going to soar on eagle's wings. And He says this. You can put my name in front of this. Wallace, to whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One. Wallace, who do you really trust? Wallace, who are you comparing with me? Wallace, who are you picking over me to get this done? That's what that verse says. To whom will you compare me? Why are we comparing Him to anyone? We're comparing Him to something to get us our goal or to get us out of our situation. So that's what we're using. And He says, what are you using in place of me? To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One. So we said, well, God, no, you're it. You're the one we trust. Now you know what we've just done? Now, God, you're it. Okay, Abraham. Abraham has to go, you're it. Okay, Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your son. Well, you're sort of it, God. You know, I sort of trust you. Now, come on, that wasn't part of the game plan. You know, you're pressing me beyond what I understand. You're pressing me to a point that I can't get my arms at. God, that's too much. See? But that's where it comes down to, because when do you need God? When it's too much. You know, I like having God when everything's going well and telling me it's continued to go well. You know, just blessing my socks off without any challenge whatsoever. But so the point comes out. So we see the point, what he asked. So again, we're going up on the eagle's wing. Look at the question. This is God's question. To whom will you compare me? Who will you use in my place? Or who is my equal? I can get it done with this. Can you do it with God? I don't know. I really need to do this. But we're saying who is equal to God in our minds. Oh my gosh. Now, so that we have that, question, which is a stunner. Okay, it's just a stunner if you think about it. If it's not, just wait until you get in a situation like Abraham, and you go, whoa, that's a stunner. See, okay, now we'll go to the next verse, and what we have here, God says, now, He asks us this question, you go, okay, who will you compare me? I guess I probably should do, God is probably who I should pick here. So what God does, He helps us to have a proper perspective of Him. We're not going to choose our way to do this, we're going to choose what God told us. And so God says, that's good. Now have this, when you choose me, here's the perspective that you have. You have your own thinking this way, but now you know who I am, and I'm going to give you this perspective of who I am. And He says to us, lift up, Isaiah 40:26, lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all of these? Now, I want to make a point here. I mentioned, how many of you like camping or something, or been camping, or you've been out in the, away from the cities, out in the mountains, Midwest or something, and at night look up? oh my gosh, it is breathtaking. I mean, the stars and what you see, it's just overwhelming. I mean, the darkness is always giving way to the light of the stars. It's amazing. Around here, you look up and you like see three stars. You know, Linda's convinced me that one of them's a satellite over our house. But anyway, you just see it. I mean, that's a, but you go out like Abraham, and I mean, it's just overwhelming, the heavens. And so the Lord says, look at the heavens. Now, I ask you a question, who created these? Who created these? And then he says, then he tells us who created this. God, who brings out the starry host one by one and calls them forth each by name. They say it's like billions of stars, more stars than the seashore. Okay, I mean, that's what scientists will tell you. And God goes, yeah, that's right. And just wanted you to know, I called and I named them. They all have names. Really? You know, I have trouble remembering the nine planets. Okay, I heard Pluto shaky now. They're trying to dump Pluto. It's not a planet. But anyway, but it's like, okay, so he goes, you look at the heavens, I brought these out one by one, and I call forth each one by name. He named every single star. And you're looking at that, wow, he did it, and then he named them all. And then it goes on and says, because of his great power and mighty strength, none of them is missing. None of them is missing. And I like, you know, look at astrology and stuff like that. And you know what people say, and this is happening, this happened, don't know what's this happening. You got this hole and something outside that hole, and you got these multitude of universes, and this popping up, and this is disappearing. And, you know, it's kind of fascinating like that. And it's just like random. He goes, no, it's not. There's nothing random about it. I did this by my power and my strength. None of them is missing. Nothing's missing. Just the way I wanted it. There's not an accident up there. And until we look at the heavens and we think, oh, that bitty, bitty star, you know, it comes and goes and whatever. But you take that bitty, bitty star and you bring it in here and it's bigger than our solar system. You know, it's like, so in perspective, you know, they didn't even know that then. I mean, God did. So the whole point of it is, what is he saying? Whom will you compare me to? Just look at the heavens. I did this. I did this. So what's your issue? If I did this, I should probably take care of your problem. That's what he's saying. Probably I could take care of your problem. Now, here's a little editorial from me. You go, you know, the higher levels of education in science and stuff like that, and this whole view of evolution and how the world came into being and have a theory and stuff. By the way, no one knows. It's all theory. It's just absolute because they have no facts, okay? They'll present it like it's fact, but it's not facts, okay, because it's theory. They don't know. They say a billion years ago, give me a fact. One fact, just a billion years. Well, you can't. But, you know, that kind of helps out my theory. It's a billion years ago because nobody else knows either. And so the point of it is, I think like evolution and those, and here, this is just me. I'm just top of my head looking through the scripture. And I think those theories are demonic. They're demonic. Okay, they're you know, it's people without God trying to explain what God did. And I understand where it's coming from. But when we buy into it, it's demonic. Because God says, look up in the heavens. Who created these? It's evolution. It's a big explosion. Who got left out of this? Who got left out of this? God got left out of this. And he says, now trust me. Well, no, that's evolution, and we just kind of came in this, and you just kind of stepped in during evolution and picked up what evolution was doing and made it part of your plan or some nonsense. See, it's incompatible. It's incompatible. And with the Lord, it's incompatible. And so if you have an evolution mindset, or if you have, oh, the world's created by a big bang, which all those statements are saying is created without God. Since it was created out without God, it takes away of our level of ability to trust God, because the beginning didn't come from God. It was an accident. And he just joined in the accident to have us here. No, he created it and he called it name by name. And when we see that and believe that, it's like, oh my God, he can probably work in my life. He could probably work in my life. See, that's why it's demonic. That's why it's demonic. It's not an intelligence. It's just a demonic thing. Because Satan knows if we believe that God spoke out and created those and named them and called them out one by one, we will believe he can do anything. That's what happens when we believe that. We believe that he can do anything. He goes, who do you compare me? Like, you can do anything. Because see what you did in the heavens. And you called them out name by name. See, that's powerful. And it goes into the explanation of soaring on eagle's wings. I soar on eagle's wings. And I'm glad this eagle evolved so I can get on his wings. See? There's no trust in that. There's no trust in that. There's no trust in that. So here we have. Even we talked to Job. I like the book of Job. Not a lot of people like the book of Job, but I like the book of Job. He's probably the only person in the Bible that complains more than I do. I mean, it's just, he is just, I mean, one thing, I am, he is so, and really Job has a lot to complain about. I mean, he really does. I mean, his world fell apart, and he just complains. I mean, he complains, I think it's 32 chapters. 32 chapters he complains. I mean, the book of Job, he complains for 30. I mean, if you read Job, he will cover all your complaints. It'll fit into those 32 chapters. I mean, the guy's not a happy camper. Now, so what happens to Job in chapter 40, or just what, about 38, I guess. Yeah, 38. What happens to Job? God comes and actually speaks to Job. Comes out of heaven, and so he complains so much, and God knew what was going on, so God comes, and he actually talks to Job after he's complained that much. I love what he says to Job to get things in perspective. I got this on the board. Look at Job 38:4. I love this verse. He says to Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me. Just I just love it. And that's the reason, like I said, well, I just, before God, I'm going to ask him something. I really don't, because that's what he'd say to me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me. Well, I think, of course, I don't have nothing to say. I don't have a thing to say. You know? So he says the same thing to Job that he's saying in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. He's saying the same thing. Where were you when I called out all the stars one by one and named them? Where were you? Let's start our conversation with that. That changes the whole conversation, doesn't it? And so the same thing in Job. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? And it says, tell me. I'm waiting. Yeah. And he said, you know what Job said? Nothing. He didn't say a thing. See, what God is telling us, too, we make application here. God is saying, align your problems with my power. Now, I don't know if that's inspired, but I think you should write it down. God says, align your problems with my power. Now, what is his power? His power is the one that spoke forth, called the stars one by one, and named them. So I'm going to align my problem with his power. All of a sudden, my problem looks awfully small. Doesn't it? Because we all have problems. And I mean, if you listen to me and I tell you my problem, if I do a good job, I will convince you that no one can solve my problem. That's why I'll do it. Because if I, you know, if it was solvable, I'd do it, you know. So to have a good problem, I have to convince you that it's not solvable. And that means if it's not solvable, it's bigger than God. It's bigger than God because it's not solvable. But God said, no, I'm the one that spoke forth. Spoke the stars one by one and named them. So align my problem with God. Who do you say I am? That's the issue. Who do you say I am? Okay, you're that God. All of a sudden my problem becomes solvable. All of a sudden my problem becomes under the hand of God. All of a sudden my view changes. My view changes because I have a perspective of who God is. Problem didn't go anyplace. My perspective changed because of who I think God is. So,